Okay, let's get cracking today. Very exciting. We're going to be finishing off Meseches Psachim with Perek Yud Mishnah Taz. And then we're going to begin Meseches Shkalim with Perek Aleph Mishnah Aleph. The Mishnah here, Perek Yud Mishnah Taz, is going to discuss a halacha regarding the Karban Pesach that was not entirely eaten before Chatzos, which according to the Tana of this particular Mishnah, is the time on a Midaraisa level for eating the Karban Pesach. Says the Mishnah, HaPesach Acher Chatzos Metame Es HaYadayim, any meat that is left over from the Karban Pesach after Chatzos, when it may no longer be eaten, again, according to this particular opinion in the Mishnah, makes the hands that touch it tame, because it becomes nosar, it becomes left over, and at that point, you have to burn it, and you become tame for touching it. Now, our Mishnah, like I just mentioned, follows the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azari, who holds that the requirement to eat the Karban Pesach before Chatzos is a requirement on a Midaraisa level, is a requirement on a Torah level. Only according to this opinion does any meat that remains after midnight become actual nosar. Now, according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, however, who holds that the midnight deadline is only a din midirabbanan, it's only a rabbinic prohibition. And on a midaraisa level, you have until the actual morning, it would not become nosar until the actual morning arrives. Continuing in the Mishnah, ha-pigul v'ha-nosar metamen es-hayadayim, the rule is that pigul and nosar make the hands of a person tame. Now again, what's pigul? So pigul is a karban that when a kohen brought it, he performed one of the avodas, one of the services of the blood, whether it's shechting the animal, catching the blood, taking the blood to the mizbeach, throwing it on the mizbeach, and so on. And he has it with the intention that it will be eaten or burnt on the mizbeach, or its blood will be thrown on the Mizbeach after the time for that particular avoda is required. The karban becomes pasul immediately, and eating it, even in the allowed time, is punishable by karis. And like we see in our Mishnah, for pigul you would become tame also for touching such a karban, and also as well for leaving over the animal after its appropriate time, you become tame for touching such animals. The Mishnah is going to conclude with one final halacha pertaining to the Karban Pesach. Says the Mishnah, Beirach Birkas HaPesach, that if one says the bracha of the Karban Pesach, what's the bracha on the Karban Pesach? So the Bartender points out the bracha is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvosav V'tzivanu Lechol HaPesach. The mitzvah, to bring the Karban Pesach, and every mitzvah has a bracha. So before eating the Karban Pesach, they would make this bracha of Lechol HaPesach. Says the Mishnah, that if one says this bracha of Lechol Pesach, then what happens is that he's exempted himself from having to say the additional bracha for the Karban Chagiga, which would sometimes accompany the Karban Pesach. And as the Bartender points out, what's the bracha for the Karban Chagiga? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvosav V'tzivanu Le'echol HaZevach. So there is a bracha for the Karban Pesach, there's a bracha for the Karban Chagiga, and says this opinion in the Mishnah, if you make the bracha on the Karban Pesach, then you have exempted yourself from having to say the bracha on the Karban Chagiga as well. Continuing in the Mishnah, Beirach es shel zevach, but if he said the bracha on the Karban Chagiga, lo patar es shel pesach, he is not exempted and excused himself from having to the bracha on the Karban Pesach. Div Rabbi Yishmael, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. Again, if you say the bracha on the Karban Pesach, then it includes the Karban Chagiga, because the ikar, the main thing that you want to eat, is the Karban Pesach, and therefore that includes and excludes the bracha on the Karban Chagiga. But the bracha on the Chagiga, which is secondary, is certainly not going to exclude the bracha from the Karban Pesach. However, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, Lo zo poteres zo, the bracha of this one does not exempt one from having to say the bracha on the other one. Lo zo poteres zo, and the bracha on this one doesn't exempt one from having to say the bracha on the other one as well. Meaning each one is an independent mitzvah, which requires its own bracha. What's interesting here is this is the concept that we discussed in Maseches Brachos, referred to as ikar and tafel, that when you have an ikar, when you have a main thing, so that's going to often exempt you from also making a bracha on the tafel. So here, according to Rabbi Yishmael, the Iker Bracha is the Pesach, therefore it's going to exempt you from making the Bracha on the Karban Chagiga. However, Rabbi Akiva disagrees and says, no, absolutely not, and we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, as the Bar Tanura points out, that's only when it comes to Birchos Hanan, and when it comes to a Bracha on something that you need, that you're benefiting, you're eating something, so you're benefiting from the world, so in that case, we allow you to exempt your Tafel, your secondary Bracha, with the main Bracha. But this isn't a Birchos Hanan, and this is a Birchos HaMitzvah. And when you're doing two different mitzvahs, so the Karban Chagiga and the Karban Pesach, two separate mitzvahs, therefore, you would make two separate brachos for them, and one bracha does not exempt the other bracha. Continuing now, as we begin Maseches Shkalim. Now, the primary topic discussed in Maseches Shkalim is the half shekel that each Jew is required to pay every single year when the Beis HaMikdash stood. And the purpose of the funds collected through the Machatz HaShekel is to fund the Karbanos Tzibur, is to fund the public Karbanos that were brought each and every day, as well as on some special occasions as well. This mitzvah is described in Maseches, in Parshas Kisis and Sefer Shemos, and this is a mitzvah min HaTorah. Now, one quick idea that I think is very powerful in introduction to this mitzvah, the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh asks in Parshas Kisisa, why is it that we have people give a half a shekel? Why not everyone give a full shekel? At the end of the day, a half a shekel is very little money. A one full shekel is also very little money. It's not significant. Everyone can afford a half. Everyone can afford a full shekel. So asks the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh in Parshas Kisisa, why do we require people to give a half a shekel and not a full shekel? And the Al-Sheikh gives a beautiful answer, and he says, because a half a shekel needs another half a shekel to become whole, just like every single Jew needs every single other Jew to become whole. And that's really the idea of the half a shekel. Every single Jew, no matter how rich you are, no matter how poor you are, we're one nation, we're one people, we're all in this together, we're all contributing together, we all need one another, and that's the important idea that's going to be, that we're going to be learning a little bit about here in Maseches Shkalim. Now, as we begin Perek Aleph of Maseches Shkalim, we should just point out that we're going to discuss exactly when this half a shekel for the communal karbanos, again, which would be collected every single year, was going to be collected. It says the Mishnah, Be'echad ba'adar mashmi'in al hashkalim. On the first day of Adar, messengers of the Beis Din would go to all Jewish communities and they would say, it's time to give your half a shekel. You have to give it so that people will give it to the temple's treasury by the end of Adar. Now, the Chachamim learn from a pasuk that beginning with the first of Nisan, all public karbonos had to be purchased with the new shkal that were contributed for that particular year, as the Gemara describes in the beginning of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, the shkalim had to be paid before the beginning of Nisan, during the month of Adar, and that's why on the first of Adar, when they would announce that it's important for people to start collecting the shkalim. Again, we should just point out when the Mishnah says shkalim, it really means a half a shekel. That when it means a full shekel, the Mishnah says sela, and when the Mishnah says a half a shekel, when the Mishnah says shkalim, it really means a half a shekel. Now, the first of Adar was chosen for announcing the shkalim because it is 30 days before the beginning of Nisan, at which time the shkalim are first used to and really are needed at that point for the various karbanos that are going to be brought going forward. Continuing in the Mishnah, V'ala Kalayim, they would also make an announcement on the first of Adar in regard to the prohibition of Kilayim, like we learned in the Seder Zeraim, planting different species, whether it be wheat and barley together, different types of things that you're not allowed to plant together. They would make a public announcement letting them know that you cannot plant these types of crops together. They would instruct those who have such a mixture growing in their field to reduce the amount of one of the plants to less than 1/24th of the total growth of the field. In this way, the mixture is no longer considered to be kilayim. So number one, they would announce that people should start giving the half shekel. And number two, they would announce regarding kilayim. Now, as we're going to learn in Mishnah Gimel, there's going to be another part of this process that's going to be very, very relevant when it comes to Shkalim on the 15th of Adar. As such, we're going to list several other events that would occur on this day, the 15th of Adar. Says the Mishnah, B'chamish Asar, on the 15th day of Adar, Koren es HaMegillah B'krakin. That's when they would read the Megillah in the walled cities. This refers specifically, as the Mishnah describes in Maseches Megillah, to those that had a city in the time of Yehoshua's conquering of Eretz Yisrael. In these cities, Purim was observed on the 15th of Adar, known again as Shushan Purim. So that would happen on the 15th of Adar as well. They would read the Megillah in walled cities. Every other city would read the Megillah on the 14th of Adar. What else would they do on the 15th of Adar? Umisakdin es hadracham yes harachovos, the court or the bezdin or their messengers. They would begin to repair the roads and the marketplaces from damages that resulted from the rain of the winter. And again, this is to get ready for that. For Pesach, people are going to start going olu l'regel. People are going to start traveling to Yerushalayim. So it was important that the roads leading up to Yerushalayim were ready, were repaired, were fixed for people to come and go to Yerushalayim. V'yas mikvaos hamayim, they would also start cleaning out the mud that fell in during the rainy seasons, the various mikvaos, the various places where people would immerse themselves. Also, again, to get holy, to get pure, as they would get ready to go to the Beis HaMikdash for Yerushalayim to bring karbanos on the holiday of Pesach. The osin called tzarchei rab, and they would take care of all of the needs of the public that have not yet been accomplished this year, so that they are completed by the end of the year. This is like the end of the year review to make sure that everything was done, everything's taken care of, as the year is about to come to a close. Again, the first month of the year is going to be Nisan. Umitzainin es hakvaros, they would also mark the graves whose markings were washed away in the winter rains as well. There also be people have to know where they can and can't go, where are their graves, where aren't their graves, because people can't be tameh if they're going to the Beis HaMikdash for Pesach. Finishing off the Mishnah, v'yotzin afakilayim, and they would also go out on the 15th of Adar to inspect the fields for different growths of kilayim among the main crop, and to uproot any such growths that they find. As the Bartanura points out, the goal was here to make sure that people listened to what the Beis Din announced on the 1st of Adar, to make sure that they also followed through with it on the 15th of Adar. Quick review. Perek Yud Mishnah Tes taught us, number one, that that any meat that is left over from the Karban Pesach after Chatzos, when it can no longer be eaten, makes a person tame, just like Pigel makes a person tame if you touch it. Noser as well is going to make you tame if you touch it. Again, this is according to the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Akiva would say that you have until the morning on a deraisa level. Then the question was, what if you make a bracha on the Karban Pesach? Does that pater you? Does that exempt you from the bracha on the Karban Chagiga? Rabbi Shmuel says absolutely it does, because the Iker is the Karban Pesach, and therefore it's going to exempt you from the Tafel, from the Karban Chagiga. But Rabbi Akiva, who we pass like, says, no, that's only when it comes to Berachos Hanan, and not when it comes to Berachos HaMitzvah, and therefore each bracha is independent, each mitzvah is independent, and therefore you have to make the bracha on the Karban Pesach separate from the bracha on the Karban Chagiga. And then Perak Aleph, Mishnah Aleph of Maseches Shkalim Torah, on the first day of Adar, messengers of the Beis Din would proclaim to all Jewish communities, they have to start giving shkalim, really half shekel, to the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash. They would also make an announcement on the 1st of Adar regarding the prohibition of kilayim. You can't plant different species together, wheat, barley, so on and so forth. Again, the halakhas we learned previously in Maseches Kilayim. And if you do have it growing in your field, you got to limit it to the 1/24th of the larger amount of plants in your field. And then the Mishnah tells us regarding the 15th of Adar, what else happened on the 15th. We're going to read the Megillah in the walled cities. The Beis Din or their messengers would begin to repair the roads, getting ready for people to go to Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash for Pesach. They would fix the mikvahs so that people are ready to immerse themselves in the mikvah as necessary. They would attend to all the needs of the general public again to make sure that everything's done as the year is about to come to a close. And finally, they would mark the graves of those whose markings were washed away in the winter rain, again, to make sure that people don't become tamei as they're going to the Beis HaMikdash for Pesach. And they would once again go out and inspect the field to make sure that people don't have kilayim growing in their fields. Have a great day.